why you're here and what's this demo about?
Okay, essentially this demo is really a memorial for families to come together, support one another, talk, just be together to remember our loved ones who have died, been neglected, as a result been killed or murdered actually by the police. So we're supporting one another, but also we're here to really keep the pressure up because we've got a new government, okay, and they need to push the death in custody issue up their agenda, and we want them to know about it. We're hand delivering a letter to Downing Street. We've also tried to get it into the Guardian as a, you know, an open letter, because we want them to realise that what we've gone through and what our loved ones have suffered, and we want them to reform this system because at the moment it's not fit for purpose. My brother Sean Rigg unfortunately came to his death at the hands of the police 2008 in August. He was really a vulnerable person with a mental illness that needed to be taken to hospital, but instead he was criminalised, restrained by four officers and died very shortly after. We're still waiting for the inquest, but at the moment we've got a lot of the evidence that we're looking through as a family. It's very disturbing, we're very distraught, we've been through a very difficult 2 years just trying to get the investigators, the IPCC, to do a proper job. And unfortunately, what we've realised in this situation is that you have to become investigators yourself as a family. And as a result, we've started up a campaign. We've got a solicitor. We've asked hard, poignant questions, basic questions that any family should have the right to have the answers to. And according to the system, they want us to wait 4 years to get these answers. But we're not prepared to wait that long. So we want the system to be changed. We'll never forget my brother. He was a fantastic, amazing person. Even though he had a mental illness, he overcame a lot of that stigma, and he did really great things. He was a musician, he wrote his own material, he produced albums, and you know, we're really proud of him and his progress. And unfortunately, instead of getting the help that he needed, you know, he's ended up dead. And we just want to know who is accountable and what is going to be done about it.
Yeah, my name's Stephanie Lightfoot Bennett. I've been doing this since the campaign started, 12 years. My twin was killed in police custody 18 years ago. Basically, he beat himself to death while in a cell. I've had 3 inquests. The first inquest got stopped because the custody sergeant's wife was on the jury. Second inquest, the toxicologist falsified evidence that we had to submit DNAs from the whole of my family to prove that the samples they give us were not my twins. Hence, they tried to say he died of a drug overdose in a cell after being held for 6 days, having no visitors but counsel. When I had to go up and ID my twin in Stockport, he was put in a disused cell in Denton. He was naked, apart from one sock. The tip of his nose was missing. His body was so damaged that I thought they brought out the wrong body, because I said he looks like a black man and we're mixed race. So I do this every single year with the other families, and it just seems like every year there's a new face. You know, like, I came into this world as a twin. You know, I have that right to find out how my twin died, and so does the rest of these families. They have the right to know how a member of their family died. We all have a right. And I look at it this way: I'd rather my twin had murdered a police officer, he'd be alive, rather than the police murdered my twin and sentenced me to 18 years of not physically having him. I have him in my heart, but I don't have him in my hands. And it's affected my family badly, badly. But I'll be doing this every year, and every year I will see a new face, and it sickens me. It really sickens me. But the likes of inquests that helps you get on your way, because when you have an inquest, you're not allowed to have legal aid. So there, by the luck of God, that I was reading Spilsbury and true crime and forensic books, that I managed to conduct my brother's inquest. I co-wrote a play with the Grass Market Project in Edinburgh, and I wrote, I won a Fringe First along with the director Jeremy, and I'm the only black person to win a Fringe Fest and a Scotsman Award. And the play was called 2052, which is after, it's a similar to the Pace book of prisoners at risk that you are supposed to adhere to. And that's why I named the play after that. But like I said, all these families, if it wasn't for Inquest and United Friends and Families, we'd have no one to turn to. We'd have nobody. So I'm grateful for the turnout, but I don't want to see no more faces. I really don't. I'd like this to be the end. It's not going to be the end, but I'd like it to be the end.
I'm Deborah Coz, I'm co-director of Inquest that works with families of people who die in custody, and I'm just here to lend my support to families on a very important day when they're remembering their loved ones, but we're also highlighting the problems with the way in which these deaths are investigated and the lack of accountability following deaths, particularly when there's clear evidence of either excessive use of force, neglect, or the imprisonment of people who shouldn't be there, such as those with mental health problems or drug and alcohol problems. And I think it's an important day for not only for the families but for the public interest to be reminded that these deaths are happening on a daily basis and that little, if anything, is being done to prevent them happening.
What can people do to help?
I think supporting family campaigns is very important, but I think also putting pressure on the government to ensure that there is proper accountability when somebody dies. We're supposed to live in a democracy, and yet time and time again inquests reveal unlawful acts or neglectful acts, and yet no action is taken either at a disciplinary or at a criminal level, and I don't think that's acceptable.
Hi, yeah, I'm Marcia Rigg from the Sean Rigg Justice and Change campaign, and I'm here to support other families along with myself into the death of their loved ones, you know, by the police. And we're here to as unity and to hand deliver a letter to the Prime Minister with a number of points that we need the system overhauled, and recommendations have long since passed their sell-by dates. We need real things to happen and change. We need change, and that's why we're here today.
It's an annual demonstration. We usually have Trafalgar Square to Dongan Street for all our loved ones who died in police custody. Because as you see, this was my son, Roger Sylvester, who died in police custody in January 1999. And so far, even the government says they put, since his death over 11 years ago, they put things in place for it stop, for it not to happen again, but it's continued to happen. So I don't know why it's keep on happening. And the majority of the death in custody is, it should not happen. Because if the police went to a scene of somebody who behaving strangely, all you need to do is two police officers, one on either arm, you take that person and they take him to the place of safety. But in Roger's case, they at least 8 police officers, they went to the scene, they restrained him, handcuffed him, take him to the hospital. And for 20 minutes in St. Anne's Hospital, they were still restraining him. And only to take him to a hospital, you should have let the nurse or the doctor take over. They keep restraining him. So them, if they did not lay the hands on him, he would not have died. So, and it's still continuing. So as I said before, every year we have this demonstration, because even the Lewis family, even on Tuesday they bury their son. You know, and it's the parents self that call the police. All they need to do is to take him to a place in a hospital, yeah, and leave him there, and let the nurses or the doctors do the rest. But no, they have to kill them. So they keep. But we have a list we have a list of the number of deaths that died in police custody. If I get hold of one of them, I'm going to give it to you, just let you to see the amount of our loved one that died in police custody.
This follows a routine stop and search, and in the process of them trying to roll out or trying to arrest my brother, they ended up killing him. They killed him in a couple of minutes or such. Now, we followed this campaign through, and in the course of 2 years that we followed this campaign through, we've had to run the gauntlet of them trying to interfere within the community, trying to get them to stop us in a campaign. We've also unearthed key findings. They are predominantly that a range of the restraints that they use and a range of the holds that they use were illegal, in a sense that they weren't trained for, they were inexperienced officers, and they were left to their own discretion as regards to what they can and they can't use. Hence the reason for the campaign itself. It's a tragedy all round, but nevertheless it's still an injustice. And really, the idea behind the campaign is not only just to raise the awareness of my brother's passing away, it's just to ensure that there's lessons that are being learnt, not just by the community itself, but certainly by the police and indeed the IPCC and how they come out to investigate these sort of matters. And that's really, in a nutshell, that's what the campaign's trying to do.
Okay, cheers. And your brother's name?
It's Habibullah.
My name is George Coombs. I've come from Hove and I'm here to support people who've lost loved ones in police or prison custody, and having once nearly died myself in police custody, I know a lot of the families here very well indeed. Sean and his family, Sylvester over there, I know a lot of them very well, and I'm on Facebook supporting, helping any way I can, and I'm also very involved in supporting people in prison or hurt by the system in any way.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the situation?
Just that the number of deaths in custody keeps going up. It doesn't go down. Somehow or other, successive governments just haven't got the message that the welfare of people they choose to take into custody is their legal and moral responsibility. And yet I've heard from a letter on my way here today that this month alone in different prisons there have been 4 successive suicides, and it's just one after the other. It's a shocking state of affairs, and shame on successive governments that allow it to happen.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm here to represent Pauline Campbell and the campaign that she fought until she died, about her daughter Sarah, because the result of the inquest was that Sarah died of sheer lack of care while in the care of the state, supposed to have been in the care of the state, and Pauline fought long and as hard as she could for that, and I'm here today with her banner that I carried with her normally, to remind people of what is still happening in prisons today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers.
Okay, well, we're here today to make clear to the police that they can't get away with what they did to Ian Tomlinson on the G20 April the 1st. I mean, they did it, they killed him, but that was a mistake. It was more public than ever before. We all saw what happened, and now all those other people that have been killed in the back of police vans, and their families and loved ones, were here to say no more, and there's going to be a lot of trouble until there's some justice done, and we want every single copper that's murdered somebody to be brought to justice and removed from the police force. But of course, it's actually deeper than that. We've got a police force which is really an upside down police force, which if you're fighting for justice and to enforce the law, starting at the top, crack down on crime starting at the top, what happens is you get arrested. And on the other hand, if you're guilty of crime, major crime, including war crime, of course you get protected. So it's an upside down police force, and we want proper policing by the people, for the people, of the people. That's it.
We will be walking silently towards Downing Street, which is towards direction. And we just all walk in nice single line. And we're going to walk silently towards Downing Street. And then when we get to Downing Street, we're going to have a noisy protest. We're going to be hand-delivering a letter for the Prime Minister. So I'm hoping that they will open the gate. And then other families will speak about their experiences that we've had. Now, we've been marching for the last 11 years. Today is the 12th anniversary of United Friends and Families March. So we're hoping that this year is going to make a difference. And the letter that we're handing to the Prime Minister is actually a public letter. So you'll be able to see it online. It will be in the papers. This letter is an open letter for everybody to see. We're going to pin a copy of it on the gate when we get to Downing Street. So we'll be leaving in the next few minutes, okay? Thanks everybody for coming.